This is attorney Larry Rowe. Question: why would you take a local auto crash case to a huge out-of-state law firm? Be smart, stay local, and visit me at LarryLRowe.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 580 WCHS, its employees, or WVRC Media. 580 Live is presented by Thornhill Automotive and is broadcast live from the Parmar Stores studio.
You're listening to 580 Live, WCHS, the voice of Charleston. I'm Dale Cooper, guest hosting for Dave Allen today and tomorrow. Dave's going out on the road doing some business on his own, and he'll be back on Friday for the Friday edition of the program, just in time for a busy weekend in the greater Charleston area. So Dave will be back on Friday. I'll be your chaperone for this hour leading into Talkline for the next 2 days. And we have a couple of really good, interesting days of content for you. Coming up today here in just a couple minutes, we're going to get into S2992. That's the American Innovation and Choice Online Act. And I'm looking forward to talking about this with Jessica Malugan. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. She'll be joining me here in just a few moments. We're going to talk about this thing. This is an interesting bill because it does have top-line bipartisan support. When you read some of the sponsors and co-sponsors on this thing, you're like, oh, hey, here's that dream a bipartisan bill that everybody's been looking for. However, when you look into the details of this thing, and I've been doing a little bit of a deep dive over the last few days, there are some questions, and Jessica's going to help us with some of the questions that we have around that. Later on in the program today as well, Randy Baird, the mayor of Winfield, is going to join us. We're going to talk about what's happening with water sports this weekend over in Winfield. There's going to be an event there. We're going to be talking about the water sports festival that's coming up this weekend in the town of Winfield. So we're going to have a good hour for you today. Jeff Jenkins is also going to check in with us in the last few minutes of the program to give us an update on the trial that's happening here in Charleston. So a full show today. We'll work in some open phone lines when we have the opportunity to do that at 304-345-5858. That's 304-345-5858. You can also text in any questions that you have. That number is 304-935-5008. 304-935-5008 will get you into the text line. I'm looking forward to the show today. I'll be back here tomorrow as well, and we'll have another great show here tomorrow. Chris Lawrence is going to join me. We're going to talk about taking a kid fishing this weekend. We have a promotion that's coming up that's going to be at Coonskin, and it's a great time to get out and teach your kids to fish or just have a moment to spend some time with your kids. We're going to talk about teaching your kid fishing, and also Brad McElhaney will join me tomorrow. We'll talk about some of the state news that's going on around the state of West Virginia. Not a dead news period at all, that is for sure. So we have plenty of things that we're going to cover. Once again, our phone number here is 304-345-5858, 304-345-5858 for any numbers that you have. Now, we're going to talk about the American Innovation and Choice Online Act. This is S2992. Let me tell you some of the people that are involved with this. The chair, the senator, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, she is the full committee ranking senator on this, along with Chuck Grassley from Iowa, the Republican from Iowa. He's co-sponsored also by Dick Durbin, Richard Blumenthal, Cory Booker, Mazzy Hirono, and Mark Warner. That's quite a list of Democratic supporters. On the Republican side, Josh Hawley, John Kennedy, Lindsey Graham, Cynthia Loomis, and Steve Daniels from Montana. So this is quite the, at least on the first blush, it looks like quite a bipartisan group. What this bill applies to do is it takes the largest online platforms that enables a user to generate or interact with content on that platform, facilitates e-commerce among consumers or third-party businesses, enables users for searches that display large volumes of information. Basically, it takes our largest companies, and we'll get into which ones those are in just a moment, and forces a number of restrictions or makes a number of regulations on those businesses. How it works is, if enacted, the bill would give federal antitrust agencies the authority to issue civil penalties and injunctions against so-called covered platform. What makes the largest online platforms those covered? Those with at least 50 million monthly active users or 100,000 business users, annual market capitalization or U.S. net sales exceeding $550 billion, and that serve a quote-unquote critical trading partner for its business uses. The bill should cover Apple, Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, Amazon, and Meta, which is formerly Facebook. It's unclear if Microsoft at this point would be targeted under this. However, more on that later, because who can be targeted isn't necessarily defined by just this. A couple of things. There's a whole list of things that this is going to give regulations for. A few things that we're going to talk about today: unfairly preferencing a platform operator's products or services or lines of businesses, also discrimination in applications enforcement of a covered platform's terms of service, and also the use of non-public data obtained or generated covered by the platform and how they use that in their businesses. These are all things that seem like, from certain perspectives, that they could be beneficial to have some regulations to the consumer. However, things are not quite as obvious as they may seem, and we want to get into the nuts and bolts of this just a little bit. Jessica Malugan does join me this morning. She is from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation, and Jessica joins me this morning. Good morning. Thanks for coming on the air with us this morning, Jessica.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Dale.
I'm really looking forward to having this discussion. There's a lot to kind of unpack here, because there's been a lot of discussion just in the last few years about our online data, our privacy, how that's being used, how the larger companies are leveraging that to do different things. And like with everything, there tends to be unfortunately, from a broad media perspective, there seems to always be, you paint two different corners of this thing, and you have the evil corporations that are trying to take over everybody, and then you have the folks that are anti-free speech and different things like that. But I want to get into exactly what is in this. If you were listening to somebody try to promote this bill, Jessica, what is the supposed intent of what this is supposed to do?
Well, I think that, to your point, it kind of depends who you ask, right?
Yeah.
And I think that explains some of the bipartisan support here.
Yep.
And unfortunately, what getting to the bottom of it entails is reading the bill and really thinking a little more clearly about what the actual practical consequences are. And thankfully, for the listeners of the Greater Charleston area, they don't have to do that, because that's my job. So I think that support for this bill comes from a lot of different things, right? It comes from a general, like, kind of weariness about how big and influential these tech companies are. I think that kind of we all have that instinct to be a little cautious around things of that size. There's part of that. And from the Republican side, I think a lot of it has to do more with the speech issues that you talked about, and this feeling from the right that there's some discrimination against conservative speech on social media platforms. But I would just point out, when you read the bill, this will do nothing to address any of that. This is not about that. It's been promoted sort of in the same momentum as those concerns, but it really doesn't address that. That's a separate issue. And, you know, the Senate should have a conversation about that, but we shouldn't confuse what's happening in this bill with those concerns. So what is actually happening in this bill is basically just good old-fashioned, heavy-handed, leftist regulation of these companies. And the problem with that, of course, is that it's really going to hurt consumers. So if you talk about what does this mean for the average user, it means that your Amazon Prime delivery is in peril. That would be something that might fall under the idea of self-preferencing. So all that means is that Amazon owns the platform, and it also sells against third parties that sell on that platform, right? So if you go on Amazon, you could buy Amazon generic products that might be offered and advertised with Prime shipping, free shipping, fast shipping, because they have those things in their warehouses. They can make that promise. And third parties can also sell those things, but you might not get some of those benefits. And under this kind of ban on self-preferencing for Amazon, that means that they might not be able to offer their own products with faster shipping, free shipping, lower prices. So self-preferencing sounds like a big, scary thing, but what that usually means in the market is one more option and a couple more benefits for consumers. And you certainly don't want to shut all that off for the people who are really looking now more than ever for some convenience, for a reason to order and not have to buy gas to drive to the store, for lower prices, for more choices. American consumers need that right now more than ever. So to put kind of beef with big tech ahead of what the constituents really need, I think would be so foolish for U.S. senators. And we can go through more examples. The same thing is true when you search for something locally around you on Google in your browser, mm-hmm. and Google Maps, you know, you've seen it. It comes up in sort of there near the top of the search results. It'll show you, kind of knows where you are, and it shows you some things around you that might be convenient. It also shows you reviews about those places. It's very useful. It's very helpful, and it's completely free to consumers. But, again, under this prohibition of self-preferencing, Google can't show you Google Maps with all that information up top because Google obviously owns Google Maps, and they are preferencing their search results that way. So that's another example of sort of where consumers are going to take the hit on this. That might be great for the companies competing with Google Maps, but it's not so great for the people who really enjoy using Google Maps for free.
Or the people that use it to discover businesses or something like that. I can come at this from a former business owner standpoint. In the early 2000s, I owned a couple of different bookstores and mixed media places where we were selling. Relatively small, we built it from the ground up. I had really great customer relations, and this was in the early days of like Yelp and Google reviews and things along those lines. It helped my business considerably for people to be able to search books in my area and to find my bookstore that they could come to and say, oh, there's a local independent bookstore. I'm going to go to that. Back in these days, Books A Million and places like that were still all over the place. Books A Million didn't need those search results. People know where Books A Million is. They're one of the anchor stores at the outdoor mall. They're somewhere where you can find, where you could drive by all the time. No problem finding Books A Million. However, doing a search and having my business come up in a Google search result for maps or something like that helped my business out a lot. If that data and that information wasn't allowed to be shared across platforms where people would surface it when they did the search, less people would have discovered my business, or I would have had to pay more to have my results shown in that type of result. I don't really like that.
Yeah, that's such a great example of the reality of being someone who lives in the world and operates a business or is an actual customer is so separate from the soundbite that sounds good coming out of D.C., right? Which is, this is, big bad tech. Well, the problem is that, like you're saying, the line between big business and small business is blurring because so many small businesses and independent sellers use these big tech platforms to, expand their reach to customers and promote their products and be discovered by people they would never be able to find otherwise. It's such a symbiotic and beneficial thing for big tech, small companies, and for the people who, are very happy to find a small independent producer, a more of a niche thing, a local thing. So, if you have these kinds of regulations, like you said, it sounds great in the soundbite, but you're really breaking this whole system that's come up pretty organically that has a benefit for everyone that's involved. It's really dangerous.
And I have to say, in digging through some of this and some other examples of what it might do, and I try to use the balanced approach and go into this, and there's some things, I can understand some of the aims of the bill and where there might have been, especially at the beginning, some more true outlooks for it. But as what happens when things go through committee and markups and more people get involved and things like that, the language becomes more vague, the target becomes a little less specific, and you're not really sure what you come up with. But another example that I was looking into during the pandemic, when most things were shut down, you couldn't do like just clothes shopping and stuff, I started using online shopping quite a bit. I found a system using through Amazon and some services that they have to find some really useful and fairly inexpensive clothes that are still fashionable and that I like to wear and things along those lines. One of the things that I was reading about with the self-dealing and self-interest on something like Amazon is they surface their Amazon basics or their search results when you do a search for if you're looking for a button-down shirt or you're looking for pants or something like that. Now, I'm smart enough to know if I like the brand or not, and I know that they're pushing those results up there. I'm not an idiot. I understand that they're doing that. However, I do like some of those brands, and some of them I actually buy on fairly regular because they fit the right way and things along those lines. So that's one issue on there that I don't really like, the fact that maybe that's something I kind of opt into and that I appreciate. But on the other side of that, under this, from what I understand, under this bill, Amazon would be regulated to keep from doing that. However, Target would not, because Target falls a little bit below that threshold on what would be considered one of these large companies. Target has tons of private brands that they push. Walmart has tons of private brands that they push. So I know that Amazon is supposed to be evil because they're huge and all those things, but what is the real difference there between Amazon basic brand and Target's brand? I don't really understand the distinction.
Well, that's because there isn't one, and you're exactly correct. If you kind of look at, again, if you dig into the numbers a little bit, Kohl's, Target, Costco, all these big box companies that we think of mostly as brick and mortar places, but I will tell you that Target and Walmart are very much online as well, but they don't hit that threshold, as you said, have tons of generics and in-house brands. And, you know, with those companies, they represent 10, 20, 30% of their total revenue. Amazon, it's still sitting at about 1%. Their generics are about 1%. So, you know, as a consumer, you're used to walking through the grocery store or these big box stores, and you know what's generic, and they place it prominently on the shelf, right? And it's not trickery. It's one more option, and sometimes when it doesn't make any difference to you and it's priced a little lower, it's a great option. So to take that away from consumers, again, this is the worst time, right? With the economy as it is, this is just hubris to say that, you know, these senators are protecting you from generic brands. I mean, that's crazy. If consumers can't sort through what Amazon is promoted, it says promoted right there, you know, as it pops up, by the way, you know, what are we trusting citizens with? I mean, you can elect your own representatives, but you can't sort of parse through what's a generic brand being promoted by the store you're in or visiting online and what's a brand name. It's just silly. You know, this is really, it's not a problem, right? This is just one more option that really benefits consumers. So to go through all this rigmarole just to score points to beat up big tech, the problem with that is, of course, that the consumers are the ones that are going to end up paying the price. And that's so foolish right now. And especially you would think foolish right before midterm elections when these representatives should be sort of prioritizing, you know, what are American voters really concerned about? What's a real problem? Is it gas prices? Is it inflation? There's a war in Europe. We're still recovering from a pandemic. There seems like there could be better use of time than protecting people from, you know, Amazon brand batteries online. So I take your point here. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But again, that's not the soundbite you're probably hearing, but it really is the truth.
Jessica Malugin from the Competitive Enterprise Institute is my guest this morning. We're talking a little bit about the American Innovation and Choice Online Act and trying to unpack some of that. A couple of things also that kind of raised my hackles just a little bit when reading this. One of the things was that in the Senate version, or I'm sorry, the House version of the bill, there's no outright ban on self-preferencing, but unfair competition is kind of left into the ether on how to define that. And these are the types of things then, bills, that really kind of concern me when language is diluted to the point where it's so vague that really it depends on who has the best PR team on how the words are defined. And when it comes to just something quote-unquote unfair competition without there being any references attached to that, that's a little concerning to me because that means it turns into a political football at some point.
Yeah, and I'll save you my rant on the Congress delegating too much power to regulatory agencies and just say that the problem with that is that it creates uncertainty, right? So if you're a business, small or big, and you're not sure what is or isn't illegal, you know, that's a problem, right? That means you're not going to roll out your new idea for how to market something or this new product in this new space because you don't want a letter from the FTC that shuts down your whole operation until they can sort out, well, does this fit our feeling about this interpretation right now or not? And that might change with administrations and change with time. And really, you know, it's so much better to have fewer and very clear laws and regulations, right? And that this kind of vague language is really the opposite of it. And I think another big shift to kind of think about as you watch this stuff roll out is, you know, who's being protected here? It's certainly not consumers, and it's a little bit a shift away from American antitrust law that's about, you know, the basic question at the root of everything has been for decades here in the U.S., how is this hurting or helping consumers? And we're going to make the decision based on that. And that's really healthy because everyone at some point in the economy is a consumer. Yeah. But we're seeing with these bills, it's a little bit of a shift towards the European model, which is about also trying to protect smaller competitors. And the problem with that is you can kind of only serve one master. And if you start protecting smaller companies that might have higher prices, well, consumers have to pay those higher prices. Right. So it's really important to keep consumers at the heart of it. Europe hasn't done that. And I will tell you it's no coincidence they don't have one of the big top 10 tech companies in the world on their continent, right? It's a very different approach and environment. and it doesn't produce innovation, and it doesn't benefit citizens. So, you know, I always ask people, and you're perfect because you were a small business owner, would you rather open a company in the U.S. or in France? So, you know, I feel like we still have a good American instinct to understand what that means. And I think when you see bills like this that are moving towards that European model where the regulations are sort of about a million good intentions, but really negative practical realities, that's a, like your first red flag to say, well, let's slow down. Let's think about what this would mean for someone trying to get the best deal or the best price or to launch their small business.
That really makes a lot of, the aim of this may be something that that there was some need for from a top line where you look at it, but the way these things just end up getting deployed when they go through, none of this really makes a lot of sense to me. It seems like there's a lot of competing ideas here that really doesn't work. Another thing that kind of, and I think this is what we've been kind of dancing around, that this is really giving a lot of regulatory control, pushing a lot of things over to regulation that in the past, it's not that they were unsupervised, but we use something more along akin to the rule of reason to come up with how to proceed forward on case-by-case circumstances, which really allows you to apply logic and nuance to a situation rather than just taking numbers from a fact sheet and calling something yes or no based on that only.
Yeah, and that's sort of been our approach, and it's been so successful. That's why we're the economy that kind of drives the world. Because we are willing to say, let's look at this on a case-by-case basis. If there's a problem, we can look into that problem very narrowly and very specifically. But this law is the opposite of that, right? This just cuts off, the four or five biggest players at the knees and says, here's a bunch of things that have been profitable, beneficial, but they make us a little uncomfortable, so you can't do them anymore. You know, that's really not a way to make good public policy. And again, I think that the soundbite and the marketing has been such that, big tech is a very popular target to beat up on.
Sure.
But when you start talking to people, do they use their products? Yeah. Do they love their services? Yeah. And the pandemic, you know, more than ever, right? Think about all the benefits to the small businesses that were on Facebook that could easily and for free post their new hours or their new curbside pickup protocols. Or, you know, all this stuff that was, I would think it kept some companies and made the difference between them getting through this and surviving the pandemic and not. And the same thing for Google Maps and Waze and delivery and all these other things that, you may not like the politics of these big tech companies and you may not like the content moderation decisions of social media platforms. And I would agree with you a lot of the time on all of that. But let's not break the goods and services that we enjoy and are making our lives easier and better right now. Let's slow down and look at this more clearly. The bill in the Senate side hasn't even had a full hearing. You know, it hasn't gone through regular order. Normally you have bills that are this important and significant. You have people come in and testify, experts on both sides, and make these arguments so that senators can really become more informed. You know, I don't think that a lot of people who are signed on to the general idea of we should keep an eye on big tech understand the harms that are in this bill. It's really dangerous.
One final thing, and I'll cut you loose, Jessica. For me personally, I think subsection E would be enough to kind of strike this thing from something that if I were in a position to vote for, that I would find it favorable. Subsection E allows for the FTC and the DOJ to designate a covered platform jointly. So this means we've gone through all this work to set market caps and user data and things like that to determine what a covered platform is going to be. However, the exceptions are the FTC and the DOJ can designate a covered platform jointly, and such designations would be effective for 7 years. However, agencies must base designations upon size criteria, so imposing this designation provision in its current draft is unclear. This type of vague language, once again, is the type of thing that just moves me to not support something like this, because I can just see this immediately becoming a political football the moment that one company crosses the paths of one political party and, we can define what services or what companies are going to be covered under these regulations. Well, let's find a way to make this company covered. And we've seen that type of retaliation from governments within our country here recently. I think that's a dangerous precedent or a dangerous allowance to put in a bill.
I think you're exactly right. It's all the rage, unfortunately, on both sides of the aisle that if your company, which, you know, we talk about companies like they're this faceless thing, but people work there and depend on their livelihoods there. You know, people own them, people started them. And, you know, they're being punished for saying or believing the wrong thing. And that's really, you know, that's a very un-American approach, right? That's a big problem. And this would grow the opportunity for that to get worse. It's just a huge expansion of powers to the FTC and to the DOJ. And these are people, I'm sure, very well-meaning, very knowledgeable, but unelected, unaccountable to voters in an immediate way. And I don't think that most Americans are comfortable with handing over the power to a bunch of nameless bureaucrats. It's just dangerous, and it's poor congressional oversight, and it's a little bit lazy, right, that politicians who are pushing this want to benefit from the anger with big tech over separate issues.
Yes.
And they kind of want to just unload all the specifics onto these other people. And I just don't think that that consumers are going to win out in all of that.
That's very true. Jessica Malugan from the Center for, Jessica Malugan has been my guest with us this morning. I'm going to have to cut her loose. I've kept you on here way longer than what I expected to. She is the director of Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. You've been wonderful this morning. Thanks for answering all of our questions and kind of trying to demystify some of this stuff for us. It's an interesting thing. I'm not saying that there's not need for either side of this bill somewhere in the future to some degree. I don't know, but whatever this is doesn't seem like it.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate everyone giving me a few minutes to get on my soapbox about this, but I think it's really important for all of us who use technology, which is pretty much everyone today.
Thanks, Jessica. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a good day. That's Jessica Malugan that was joining us for the Center for Enterprise Institute. One last quote I want to cut loose on before we go to our break here, and we're going to come back with Randy Weber, the mayor of Winfield. Here's two quotes that could tell you everything you need to know about this bill. From Senator Kolbitzer, she says, "The policies will ensure small businesses and entrepreneurs still have an opportunity to succeed in the digital marketplace." Senator Chuck Grassley says, "Big tech needs to be held accountable if they behave in a discriminatory manner." These are both for the same bill, supposedly. I'm not so sure about that. Let's take a break. You're listening to 580 Live from the Parmar Store Studio, brought to you in part by Thornhill. 580 Live is brought to you in part by Thornhill Auto Group, including Thornhill GM Superstore on the Thornhill Motor Mile. Come tag your ride, shop all qualifying offers, and get to know the new Buicks and GMCs at ThornhillGMCSuperstore.com. We are professional grade, and we'll be back right after this.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses live to make life better for you and your family.
Out with the old, in with the new. Your fresh start is waiting this spring on the Thornhill Motor Mile. Spring into savings at Thornhill GM Superstore and tag your new 2022 Buick SUV.
Featuring Encore, Encore GX, Envision, and Enclave.
With available 0% APR on these and most GMC models.
For well-qualified buyers.
Swing into spring with safety, performance, and luxury for all lifestyles. Well-equipped with our Thornhill Value Plus warranty. Long-term coverage plus. Tag your ride. Shop all qualifying offers and get to know the new Buick and GMC at ThornhillGMSuperstore.com. We are professional grade.
For qualified GM Financial, see Thornhill for all details.
Hey, this is Dave Allen for your local Parmar store saying happy summer. Summer's the busiest time of the year with ball games, reunions, vacations, picnics, barbecues, hey, you name it, and it happens during the summer. Well, before you make plans to head out, make plans to visit your local Parmar store. From gas to great food and all the snacks you need, you'll find it at Parmar. We're nearly 200 stores strong, and we're adding stores all the time, all to better serve you. Download the Parmar app and sign up for our rewards card to save even more. Happy summer, and remember, there's not a Parmar store near you now. There will be soon.
Some X's are a real pain in the backside, but Omega Commercial Interiors has the X that's all about stress-free comfort. Hi, I'm David McCormick, owner of Omega Commercial Interiors, and I'm talking about the amazing X chair, infinite recline, dynamic variable lumbar support, and available heat and massage make the X chair a customer favorite. Omega Commercial Interiors has X chairs in stock and ready to ship. The X chair is the X you'll love to see every day. Learn more at OmegaCommercialInteriors.com.
Kitteroos in Charleston is the largest indoor playground in the state and the place to go for full family fun. For ages 4 through 12, there are many fun stations, including ball pits with cannons, trampolines, slides, and more. There's also a soft toddler area for those 3 and under, and an arcade and eatery for the teens and adults. Kitteroos is currently open 7 days a week, so bring the kids for some nonstop fun. Located in the old Sport Mart next to Patrick Street Bridge. More info at KitteroosWV.com.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
You're listening to 580 Live, WCHS, the voice of Charleston. I'm Dale Cooper. Phone number 304-345-5858, 345-5858. Jeff Jenkins will come in studio in a few minutes. We have some breaking news. You're going to want to tune in for this. Some breaking news on the sad side of things we're going to get to here in just a few moments. He'll also give us an update on the trial that's going on here in Charleston. But joining me now on the telephone is a good friend of the program, the mayor of Winfield, Randy Barrett, has joined us this morning. Mayor Barrett, is this Mr. Barrett?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, Dale. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I appreciate you calling in and giving us an idea of this event that you have coming up this weekend. Before we get into that, how are things going in Winfield these days?
Pretty good up there. We got a lot of things going on up here. Winfield's growing. We got our police department second to none in there. We got a good, clean, safe town with probably the best schools in the state. I'm against anybody. It's a good place to live.
A mayor that's proud of his town. I absolutely love that. I know you have a big festival that's coming up this weekend. It's the Water Sports Festival. Tell us a little bit about this. Man, it seems like it's coming right at the right time.
Yeah, it is up there. And the weather looks like it's going to be better than they predicted earlier in the week.
Great.
This is our second annual. We've changed it up a little bit this year. We're going to have some food trucks and the band Blame Friday evening up there right on the river. We was able to build a new community, a new shelter right beside our community center right on the river. So you get your boats out there, you can kind of like at the levee, you'll be able to hear the band on the river right there under the bridge up in there. So we're going to have that Friday evening, and I think Appalachian Boarding is going to have some lessons, and their boards will be out there for rent and stuff Friday night. And then the main thing really starts Saturday morning. Gunners has got a kayak fishing tournament that they're paying $700 first place, and that's pretty good for going out fishing the kayak up there on Canal. So got that, and then I think they pay three places there. So that's going all day. We got rubber ducky thing that we're, the benefits go to Backpack Buddies, and we've already sold more pre-ducks than we sold all last year. And so that's good, and that's a great cause up in there. Then we'll have stuff on the river and with the food trucks all day Saturday with, I think it starts at 10:30, but there'll be events on the river, paddle boarding, lessons for with boating, with tubing. There's just an array of all kinds of stuff going on all day Saturday here out on the river. So we're hoping the weather's good for it.
A couple things I should pass out to folks, and I believe this is good information, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you can go online. There's a website for this, winfieldwatersports.com?
Yes, yes, winfieldwatersports.com. You can go to Putnam Visitors Bureau. They've got a link to it. We've got a link to it, the City of Winfield Facebook page, and you can pre-register, or you can come down Friday. We'd rather you can come on down Friday evening. You can register then. Then you can come back Saturday and come up there and do it all up in there. But we've got a lot of pre-register for the fishing tournament and for the some of the lessons and the races. We've got five races with the paddle boards of different things, and we're paying first three places in all four of those races, and then the paddle royale, we're paying $100 first place on that one. So it's we've got some grants and stuff for this. So it's a you're going if you're good at it or you really enjoy it, you're going to get your money back for sure up there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. There are so many, and the website's so well laid out. I'm going to share this on our social media, so you can go to winfieldwatersports.com. You can just go over to the schedule of events, and that has everything laid out for you exactly the way that you might imagine, so you make sure that you don't miss anything that's going to happen, because this is such a great, it's a Friday-Saturday event. It's just an outstanding schedule of events that you have on here, all types of things that's going to be out on the water, things for the kids to do, for the family to do. It's going to be outside. The weather looks like it's going to hold up. Man, this looks like just, like I said, said, the perfect time for this event to take place, and it's going to happen this weekend right there in Winfield.
Yes, and in the area, you know, the state built the boat ramp right there on the bridge, and then we got our community center, our little park right there, a couple of shelters, and it's a beautiful little footprint of an area right there, right in town, that I know a lot of people don't know about. And he's talking about the website or the Facebook page. Kelly Steele from the Visitors Bureau done that, and she done an awesome job putting that together. And it really does. It really showcases what's going on this weekend.
Man, I tell you, it looks absolutely outstanding. I have a busy weekend, but now I'm thinking that might be a place I need to take my daughter, because that looks like something that's going to be awful fun to do. I hope folks find this. WinfieldWaterSports.com is one of the places that you can find out about it, from the Visitors Bureau as well. You can get all the information that you need. It's just an outstanding weekend of fun on the water in one of our great towns here in West Virginia, in Winfield. And I think that it's going to be a pretty nice time.
Yes, it will be. And up in, you know, if you're fishing, you're going, your meal's paid for and stuff in there. So, you know, part of the initiate or the feed, the $25 to fish. So it's we're hoping a lot bigger than it was last year, and it's an event we're going to keep. And I think we work with Scott James some. He's got the Yak Fest next weekend. I think Evan calls it a prequel to the Yak Fest down there. So you kind of get warmed up this weekend for the Yak Fest next weekend.
That sounds great. The mayor of Winfield, Randy Barrett, has been my guest talking about the Winfield Water Sports Festival weekend. You can find out more information online, like we were just talking about, at WinfieldWaterSports.com. Mayor, thank you so much for your time and checking in with us and telling us a little bit about the festival this weekend.
I appreciate your time, Dale.
Absolutely. Thanks for holding, too. I'm sorry to keep you in there for so long.
That's fine.
Have a great day, sir. Appreciate that. That's Mayor Barrett. Going to cut him loose, and we're going to move on to our next commercial break coming up in just a minute. Jeff Jenkins is going to join me. We have some breaking news. You're going to want to tune in for that. It's some pretty major breaking news right here in the Parmar Store studio. If you missed any part of today's show, remember you can go back and listen to the whole show, or just parts of the show. You can go to WCHSnetwork.com, scroll to the podcast, and click on 580 Live. 580 Live podcasts are brought to you by Larry L. Rowe, Attorney at Law. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to 580 Live from the Parmar Store studios on 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses want to thank you for supporting local small businesses.
Spring is in the air, and at Thornhill GM Superstore, we have your cure for spring fever. It's a sport utility spring at Thornhill. Hey, it's Sydney inviting you to find new roads to the Thornhill Motor Mile and get you a new 2022 Chevy Equinox with 0% APR for 16 months or $1,000 cash allowance. Or a new 2022 Chevy Trailblazer with 1.9% APR for 60 months. Life is better in a Chevy SUV. Find out why and tag your new SUV at ThornhillGMSuperstore.com or in person, US 119 Chapmanville. The road to total savings starts with Thornhill.
Must qualify through GM Financial. See Thornhill for all details.
Poca Valley Bank, your community bank, is ready to serve you for all of your banking and financial needs. Poca Valley Bank has been serving customers in your community since 1908. Stop by one of their 8 convenient locations in Elkview, Sissonville, Poca, Winfield, Glendenin, Spencer, Walton, and now Kanawha City, and let them become your community bank. Visit Poca Valley online at PocaValleyBank.com to learn more about their personal and business services. Poca Valley Bank, where relationships matter. Member FDIC.
If you're happy and you know it, cruise the bay. If you're happy and you know it, cast a line. If you're happy and you know it, like to wakeboard, water ski, swim off the platform, soak up the sun, enjoy a beautiful view of the shore and family memories for a lifetime, if you're happy and you know it, you likely have a boat.
Happiness on the water starts at Trojan Landing Marine. From express fishing boats to hurricanes that can scoot, take the hassle out of boating and let Trojan Landing find your perfect boat. Trojan Landing Marine, Charleston.
Did you know that most homes and businesses in West Virginia have some sort of foundation settlement problem? If you're experiencing a settling foundation or sunken concrete slab, call the professionals at Marco Concrete Lifting. With the most advanced solutions and engineered equipment, your structural stability is their top priority. Marco Concrete Lifting can provide a structural engineer referral upon request. Protect your biggest investment, your home. Call Marco Concrete Lifting today at 722-LIFT. That's 722-LIFT.
Presented by RX by Tel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX by Pack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
You're listening to 580 Live, WCHS, the voice of Charleston Live from the Parmar Store Studio. Don't forget about the Huston special for June. It's for a large pepperoni pizza with cheese sticks for only $19.99. To order online for takeout or delivery or to find the nearest Huston's Pizza location, go to hustonspizza.com. Jeff Jenkins joins me now in the studio. We have a couple things that we're going to touch on before the end of the program, but you have some breaking news, especially here for the Charleston area.
Yes. We have confirmed that Kanawha County football great Robert Alexander has died.
Oh, man.
Robert was 64 years old. He was found unresponsive in his home last night in St. Albans by a family member. I spoke with St. Albans Mayor Scott James, and Mayor James confirms that St. Albans police went there. He was unresponsive. No foul play indicated, and the body will be taken to the state medical examiner's office for an autopsy. Robert Alexander was 64 years old, and those who have been around the valley remember Robert Alexander, his first bursting onto the scene at South Charleston High School in the late 70s, was a prolific running back, was the subject of nationwide recruiting, everybody wanted him to be a running back. He's talked about it over the years, but his recruitment involved politicians, including then Governor Jay Rockefeller.
Right.
And Jay Rockefeller wanted him to go to West Virginia. Now, West Virginia was on pretty hard times at that time. Frank Cignetti was the coach. They were in the midst of losing seasons. Cignetti, by all counts, was, you know, a good recruiter, but, you know, it didn't result in wins. So Alexander did sign and go to West Virginia. And his first three seasons were okay. They ran the Veer offense, not the I formation. When Don Nealon came in, he switched to the I. So that was Robert's last year, his senior year. It was an all Kanawha County backfield. And for those who grew up here, it was great. Walt Easley was the fullback from Stonewall, and Robert Alexander was the tailback from South Charleston. And he gained over 1,000 yards in that season, which was his senior season. Mountaineers went 6-6 under Nealon that first year. And then Robert played in the pros. He played for both the LA Rams, and I think he had some time in the USFL.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Two.
Yeah, his senior season with the Mountaineers, rushed for 1,064 yards, five touchdowns, and just 200 carries. So, I mean, just under 5 yards a carry. Also caught 31 passes for 330 yards. So he had a nice senior season, which got him into the league. He was just a guest on Hotline, I think, last year in 2021. Yeah. We had him on the program. That's very sad news.
Yeah, he was, you know, you have certain heroes or people larger than life growing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I grew up more, I did grow up in the Eastern Kanawha County, so, you know, not a little bit removed from here. But for those who grew up here, grew up in South Charleston, I talked to a friend, you know, who grew up in South Charleston, and he said, you know, Robert Alexander was the guy. I mean, he was, you know, what he was able to do in high school, and his stats. It's just very sad. 64 years old, young, but he is passed, and again, no foul play indicated. That's the word from St. Albans Police to us.
It's sad news.
Yeah, just sad news. Sad news to pass along.
And you'll hear about it a little bit on Talkline. I know Hoppy's been in contact. He called me for Carl Lee's number, so I'm sure that Hoppy's
going to get it. Yeah, I think Carl's confirmed it too.
Yeah, so I think that we're going to talk about it a little bit on Talkline. So that's Robert Alexander, the great running back from the Kanawha Valley from South Charleston, has passed away at the age of 64 just overnight last night. We do have other news here in the Kanawha Valley, the big trial that our news has been covering this week. Where's that stand where we are?
Well, prosecution is still presenting its case. This is the Joshua Phillips trial charged in the death of police officer Cassie Johnson, December 2020. Prosecution is still putting on its witnesses. I think they might get close to resting their case later today. They may go into tomorrow morning. We're still probably going to have some, I would think, maybe a medical examiner testify about Cassie Johnson's, you know, what killed her, the wounds, what claimed her life. Pretty interesting testimony yesterday, Coop, with the dash cam video and still pictures shown of that, still photos, and the audio that came from her body cam. Now, her body cam was on for a period of time and then went off. Obviously, when her shot, it went blank, and it cut off actually before the shooting. But from what we are able to record, and if folks have been listening to us this morning, they've heard us play that. There was, definite altercation, but she pulled up on the scene. His Dodge Durango had been illegally parked on Garrison Avenue. He comes out of the house, and she confronts him about, okay, why did you illegally park here? He had cursed the neighbor. That's the evidence, who had complained about, and he cursed her and said, there's nowhere to park here, and he used some words, and then he went into the house, and he comes out of the house, and she said, what are you in that house for? We know that's like a drug house.
Mm-hmm.
And he, he denied it. And she said, well, let me see what's in your pocket. And he denied it. And then she tried to place him under arrest, turn around. She says, and she is tough. I mean, she is firm.
Yeah, right.
With him. Turn around. Let me, I'm going to put the handcuffs on you. She says, don't do this. Because the evidence shows that he takes her handcuffs, throws them across the street. Then he puts his hand down on the holster, on her hand, on the holster. She can't get her gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, do you have body cam rolling? She goes, yeah, it's rolling. It's been rolling. It's on. And then she calls for backup. You hear her call for backup because he's resisting arrest. And he's pleading with her, don't arrest me. What have I done? These type of things. And you can tell there, and then it goes dark, basically.
Right.
There's photos of, the dash cam photo of him pulling out his gun from his waistband. He had a gun in his waistband, pulling out his gun. And so the defense says that he was feared for his life, self-defense, those type of things. And so we'll hear their evidence. I mean, they're going to put on their evidence in this case, but they're claiming self-defense. And so we'll have to see where they go for him. We'll have to see where the prosecution wraps up here. But the jury heard it. I mean, they heard her voice, they heard his voice, and they heard that encounter.
Wow.
Between the two.
That's kind of haunting, number one. I mean, yeah. because it is what it is, and what happened to Officer Johnson. Just a bad circumstance all around. But how much longer is this expected to go?
Well, I think it could go in the next week.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, the prosecution's been moving pretty quickly through all their witnesses. And they had, I think, 25 witnesses. They'd gotten through 14 as of yesterday, but they may not call them all. I mean, it's that's just a witness list. I mean, mm-hmm. they don't have to abide by it at all. They don't have to call everybody that they had on the list. We'll see where they are after today. Still, I think there's got to be probably some medical testimony, and then the defense will present its case. I would expect something from the defense about why he would possibly do this, why he feared police, maybe previous run-ins with them.
Right, right.
I think we'll get some of that type of testimony probably. Maybe his mother will testify because she was there when he was arrested. I don't know about him. He doesn't have to testify,
right,
obviously.
Right.
But we'll see if they put him on the stand. Usually in these cases, the defendants don't go on the stand. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, that's all to take place. But it could very easily go into next week, I think.
Well, it's definitely been an unfortunate long story, long burn story from when it happened and all of the updates up until this point, yeah. And here finally the trial. So we'll continue to follow WVMetroNews.com and WCHSNetwork.com. We'll have all the updates on there.
Yeah, we're double staffing it.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the day goes, Carrie Hudasek covers the morning, Jake Flatley covers the afternoon. So we have a story, an updated story at the midday after Carrie gets back from the morning session, and then Jake updates it in the evening. We're covering it, and we're also covering the funeral today of Deputy Baker, up in Nicholas County. That's so we have coverage of that. That funeral is at 5 o'clock this evening.
That's right. So all of that and more right here on The Voice of Charleston, 580 WCHS and WCHSnetwork.com. Jeff, thanks a lot for your time.
Okay.
I appreciate
all
it,
right.
as always. Jeff Jenkins from the WCHS Radio Newsroom. We need to take one more break, and then we'll wrap up the show when we come back. But don't forget, the show is brought to you in part by the Charleston Dirty Birds. And they're the professional baseball team in Charleston with family fun all summer long. Join the Birds home games for half-price beer and buy one, get one free hot dogs on Tuesdays. Winning scratch-off Wednesday, where each fan and attendance can scratch off tickets to win prizes from Steak Escape and Elk City Auto Spa, Piggly Wiggly, and the Power Alley Grill. $1 beer night on Thursdays, giveaways to the first 1,000 fans on Fridays, and Mega Blast fireworks every Saturday. For the full season schedule, promotions, and to get your tickets, go to DirtyBirdsBaseball.com. The Charleston Dirty Birds, your hometown team. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
The brand new Generations Physical Therapy for Nitro and Cross Lanes is an Eric J. Tarr family business. Speak directly to your local physical therapist at GenerationsPT.com.
Out with the old, in with the new. Your fresh start is waiting this spring on the Thornhill Motor Mile. Spring into savings at Thornhill GM Superstore and tag your new 2022 Buick SUV.
Featuring Encore, Encore GX, Envision, and Enclave.
With available 0% APR on these and most GMC models.
For well-qualified buyers.
Swing into spring with safety, performance, and luxury for all lifestyles. Well-equipped with our Thornhill Value Plus warranty. Long-term coverage plus. Tag your ride. Shop all qualifying offers and get to know the new Buick and GMC at ThornhillGMSuperstore.com. We are professional grade.
For qualified through GM Financial, see Thornhill for all details.
Trading in your business fleet or personal vehicle for a new one? Donate your used vehicle to Good News Mountaineer Garage and get the best tax deduction possible and the satisfaction of knowing your donation changed the life of someone in need. Good News Mountaineer Garage repairs donated vehicles and provides them to qualified West Virginia families, giving them access to employment, safe and affordable housing, health care, and other vital necessities, and putting them on the road to economic independence. Call 1-866-GIVE-CAR today for Good News Mountaineer Garage.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
Appreciate our guest today on 580 Live. Jessica Malugin was with us from the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. That was on our phone line. Our phone line is brought to you by Sears Monument Company, offering quality memorials since 1911 with locations in Charleston, Huntington, Beckley, and Parkersburg. That's going to do it for us today. I'm going to be back here tomorrow. I'm going to give away some Reds tickets. Chris Lawrence will join me and Brad McElhaney. Have a great day, everyone. Talk Line is up next with Hoppy Kirchhoff.